Services program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, this is Nicole Hunter from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Essence Magazine, the September 2019 edition. So on the cover of this edition, we have Serena Williams, and we're going to go ahead and cover her story for this week. I know that, you know, you guys are probably excited about covering Serena Williams, and she's going to discuss the art of making an impact. The future of Serena Williams. She's one of the best athletes of all time, and her place in history has been cemented. What's next for the wife, mom, entrepreneur, activist, and fashion designer? Everything. With one hand on her hip and the other cradling her chin, Serena Williams dressed in a nondescript white tee and black leggings has come in from the humidity and is standing in a photo studio near her South Florida home. She's surveying a rack of black and white statement pieces from Tom Ford to Caroline Herrera for her Essence cover shoot. Like her 122 miles per hour serves, her eyes dart back and forth from one design to another. "Oh, who's that by?" asks Williams. And then without missing a beat, "Do you have anything from our collection?" She offers a slight smile, buoyed by the self-assurance that has won her 23 Grand Slam titles. She's clearly happy knowing her designs stack up against some of the best or the biggest fashion houses in the world, not only in style, but in purpose. After investing in startup companies for 5 years through Serena Ventures, the tennis champion decided she'd invest in her passion for fashion, design, and empowering women by launching an independent ready-to-wear line, S by Serena. She explains that her clothes represent women everywhere, mothers, daughters, and sisters, resilient businesswomen and entrepreneurs, outsiders and underdogs, little girls with crazy dreams and unflinching women of color. Essence, in this particular article, Essence is asking her some particular questions, and then she's responding. The first question is, let's jump right into fashion. I'm curious about the pieces you were connecting with at the photo shoot. For example, the Monique Lear cape. What's the first thing you look for in a piece you'll wear or that you'll design for your S by Serena collection? And Serena's response is, wow, I love fashion. Obviously, it has to connect to me. First of all, I like things that are unusual, but also a little classic. It depends. It could be a crazy pop of color, and it'll totally get me excited. Or it could be something fresh I haven't seen before. Honestly, I can go in any direction. Just depends on how I feel. You're deep into planning your new fashion, New York Fashion Week moment. What can we expect from your show? Everything that's on the runway will be ready for sale. As far as the clothing, we really wanted to have fun and be confident. It's kind of like all the aspects of my life, but not just my life, most women's lives. We have a job, or we have somewhere to go for an event. Or we have something more serious that we wanted to dress down for. Or we might want to go out with other friends and relax. Or we may just be walking around the house as a mom. So when we're designing the collection, we wanted to speak to every aspect of that woman. Do you find your fashion has changed since you became a mom? I'll be honest, after I had my daughter, I had to tell myself to stop wearing yoga pants. The thing is, during my pregnancy, I always made sure I dressed up or I wore heels and it would kill me. But I would just wear the heels and then I would take them off at the restaurant or wherever we would go to. Then I'd put them back on. I had to be fabulous. There's even a picture of the day before I had the baby. We went out to eat and I had a blue outfit and I was like, I'm going to try to be stylish this whole pregnancy. I tried. But afterward, It was a little bit of a letdown, definitely more so than during. We deserve a letdown, but we also deserve an upgrade. In one of your S by Serena ads last spring, you featured Essence staffer Danielle Young. She's a proud advocate for body positivity, and we were all ecstatic you chose her. We want to be inclusive. We have an extended size, and we call it great because I don't like the word plus. So we call it S great because every woman is great. Hopefully, the word great will catch on and people will get rid of the word plus. Who is your style icon? Do you have different personas you tap into when you're getting dressed for red carpets, for the courts, or for meetings with Serena Ventures? Well, my style is confidence. Sometimes I might not be feeling confident and I'll step into my closet and say, okay, I need to wear something sexy that makes me feel confident. Sometimes sporty makes me feel confident, so it just depends on the moment. But I always dress for confidence because I feel like people read you, and if you're confident, they'll treat you as such. Will you be continuing collaborations with Virgil Abloh? He has designed Williams's Grand Slam tennis outfits for Nike's The Queen Collection. He's the artistic director for Louis Vuitton's menswear and CEO of Off-White, a Milan-based house. We hope so. We've had so many fun collaborations already. When I talk to Virgil, I'm like, we need to do more really, really big thing. We'll see who that will be with. Hopefully with Nike. If not, maybe I'll do something with his brand or even something with my brand. We definitely want to continue because we work really well together. He's so cool and so creative. I could talk to him for hours about how to build a brand and how to be successful at it. I love he stands for what he stands for, and I love how he designs. Is there anything Virgil has taught you that has informed you as a designer? Yeah, definitely taking chances and letting fashion do the talking is something that I've learned from him. We actually had an even bigger collaboration for this year's French Open. I was like, this is just too big. This is too awesome. I kind of pushed back on it. And afterward, I met with him and I was like, listen, I should have taken your advice and gone for it. I was really upset. It was already a big moment, but it could have been even crazier. But I was a little bit nervous, as you can imagine. Well, I can't imagine because you're such a boss on the court, but you're human too. Exactly. But I think it shows how human we are, all are. No one really sees or hears about those moments. But I did feel like after that you can always dial it back. But if you can never dial it back up, or you can never dial it up when it's already done. Even if you design something and it's too much, you can always tone it down. But if it's too little, it's hard to dial it up. I felt like that was a great lesson for me. 5 years ago, you launched your investment firm, Serena Ventures. A few companies you funded: Masterclass, which offers online courses, Wave, a money transfer service in Africa, and Oli, a dog food delivery service. What's the one big thing you look for in companies you want to seed? Does it affect the world in a positive way? That's the one thing we always look for, and if the answer to that is yes, then we look deeper into it. Have any of the companies that you've seeded impacted how you improve S by Serena? Have you taken some best practices? Well, yeah, it's interesting because I feel like I learn a lot from the companies we work with, like Maybelline, which is a hair company. I'm just really inspired by how they run their day-to-day, and it's actually a tool for me to learn how to do better in my business as well. I've read that when you were building your fashion company, you decided to invest in yourself as an entrepreneur. What has been the joy in doing that? Knowing that you only fail if you fail to try. My biggest joy is that I know I'm doing something that I'm always or that I've always wanted to do, that I always dreamed of doing. I went to fashion school back in the early 2000s. This didn't just pop up for me. It's something I've literally been doing and designing for my whole life. I've never had an opportunity to have a meaningful partnership where I could be more creative and have a more global reach. But I decided that since I couldn't find that partner, I just needed to do it on my own. Because when you invest in yourself, it helps you, or it helps your confidence. And you'll know forever that whether you make it or not, you stepped up to the plate. And that's what I've done my whole career. Not everyone believed in me in the beginning, but I stepped up to the plate and it's been working out. We have wonderful feedback and we're learning and we're growing. That's the key. And the final question that Essence asked Serena is, you've already broken so many barriers in tennis, whether it's earning your 23rd Grand Slam, winning the Australian Open while you were pregnant, coming back to the game and winning after a difficult childbirth. Also, you're running a fashion brand. You're an entrepreneur. You represent freedom. But what does freedom mean to you? Freedom means standing up and not being afraid to say I'm here, or hear my voice, or this isn't what I agreed to, or this isn't fair, and that isn't right. That's freedom for me. I've done it my whole career. It's knowing where I've come from, knowing my history, in particular the sport that I'm in. When I first started, there weren't a lot of people who looked like me, so it was really important to always help other people feel as if this is something they could also be a part of. This is something that could be in, that they could be into. That's about speaking up and just saying, you know what? You belong here too. This is freedom. So moving on to our next article from The Body and Soul. From my heart to yours. After a rough breakup she didn't see coming, power star and single mom Natori Knowlton, or Naughton, shares her truth and lessons learned in an open letter to Black women. Dear sis, being a celebrity woman in the entertainment business doesn't exempt from break or heartbreak or the ups and downs of love. And my life sometimes imitates my art. Playing Tasha on the hit TV series Power gives me a chance to bring raw emotions to the screen, just as pouring my heart into my music brings me joy. I'm currently writing my own songs and working on an extremely vulnerable album that I can't wait for you all to hear. You'll discover that at my core, I'm still the girl next door, the girl from East Orange, New Jersey, who had a dream. But I can use my voice to empower other women. So I'm sharing my story with you. As a woman and a young mother, I've learned that we should never compromise our happiness for anyone, especially in a relationship. Women are used to sacrificing for others, and sometimes that selflessness becomes dysfunctional. You know in your heart when you're not happy and when you're feeling undervalued. As soon as you realize that you are settling or conceding your worth, you have to make a move. Check in with yourself and say, wait a minute, is this what I want? Is this who I really am? My ex and I broke up 3 months after my daughter, Zuri, was born. I was devastated. I didn't tell anybody about our breakup for 2 years because I was embarrassed and ashamed. I recently wrote a song about it called Stay Too Long because I'm not afraid to share what happened anymore. Breaking up with someone you love is real, and you might still have to put on your lipstick and your heels, walk into work, and be able to deliver. And that's hard. I went back to work shortly after having my baby girl, and I was trying to find my footing every day. Since then, I've learned to be unafraid and not compromise my happiness for anyone, particularly a man. As women, sometimes we say, well, I don't want to be with him because he's not this or he's not that. But sometimes it's not about what he is or what he isn't. It's about what you need, sis. That's another valuable lesson I've learned. I made a difficult choice to end a relationship because I had to put my own needs first. The truth is, I was afraid to become a mother, and I honestly did not feel ready. I was uncertain about my relationship and unsure if I was going to get married. I wanted to have this perfect life because I had seen it in movies, and my parents had been married for 48 years. Then it hit me. The perfect life I envisioned may not be God's plan for me right now. And it's okay to be on my own journey as long as my daughter is healthy and happy. It took a while to get here. I went to counseling and had a spiritual advisor. Maintaining my sanity was challenging some days. But with my counselor's help and the support of my family, I made it. We all go through tough times, and it's okay to say, you know, I just need something different. No disrespect to your partner or your ex, but you might just have to recognize that you're going in different directions. I had to put the picture-perfect fantasy aside so that I could focus on finding the right life, the right relationship, and the right kind of happiness for me. That's been a huge shift for me, but I'm staying true to what Zori and I need. Right now, co-parenting is what's important to my ex and me. We may no longer be together, but we'd like to make sure that the respect is still there. Zuri needs to have a strong and healthy relationship with her father. It was important for us to continue in counseling to help us co-parent in the most positive way we can. You have to do whatever works for you and your family, and that's what I'm trying to do, what we're trying to do. Our ultimate goal is to make sure Zuri is safe and happy and has a strong relationship with both of her parents. As a Black girl, she needs her dad in her life to show her affection and love. Her grandfather, too, teaches Zuri how she should be treated and adored. When she grows up and starts dating, she will remember what it feels like to be well-loved. It takes a village. If you are sharing parenting duties, I encourage you to find the common thread, which is your children, and put aside your issues, your unhappiness, your anger from the past. I'm not going to lie, there are good days and bad days, but one thing I know for sure is that I'm doing my best. God has really blessed me. Even when I didn't see it, He was blessing me. I now see that when I thought I was losing something, God was just opening up a door for something new and better to come into my life. When Zuri was just a few weeks old, I remember singing This Little Light of Mine to get me through some of the roughest days. As some of you know, I grew up singing in church, and something about that classic hymn always calmed my spirit. It reminded me that we all have a light inside us that's meant to shine. And thankfully, I've passed that light on to my daughter. In the words of my girl, India Ari, I am light. I am also beautiful, special, quirky, ambitious, happy, and made to be great. Never again will I dim my light for anything or anyone. That is the lesson I want to pass on to my daughter. So I must lead by example. Being a single mother doesn't mean or have to mean you're unhappy. I bought my first home a few years ago. I star on Power and I'm dating again. I didn't get married and I don't have a fairy tale love story yet. But I'm stronger than ever and having fun too. With everything I've been through in my life, like not working for a few years, being kicked out of a girls group called 3LW, and experiencing heartbreak in love. The biggest lesson I've learned is patience. That's what it took for me to get to this point. And I'll need it to keep growing as a woman, a mother, and a future wife. I've also learned what I will and will not accept. I won't just jump into a relationship because I may feel lonely or want companionship. Ladies, it's so important to seek your own happiness first. Then, when the time is right, get into a relationship that nurtures you. Be patient, sis. It will come to you, and you deserve it. With all my love, Notori. And that was so beautifully written. So let's move on to something, you know, a whole lot lighter than that. So we'll move on to fashion. And in this article, it's called Fashion Forward, the Changing Landscape of Plus Size Fashion. Over the past several years, the options have evolved, but the vast potential of the market is only now beginning to be recognized. Thick, big-boned, curvy, heavyset, fat, fluffy. No matter the moniker attached to one's body or one's curves, the plus-size woman and her choices have come a long way, especially over the past decade, with studies showing that the average American woman wears a size 16 to 18. You would think that stylish options would be more plentiful, but plus-size women are only now starting to receive some fashion love as designers and brands are realizing that this market represents an estimated $24 billion opportunity. Mainstream fashion labels traditionally ignored the needs of full-figured customers. As a result, plus-size influencers have emerged, launching their own collections, celebrating and championing one another, and producing events that draw large followings. According to CoreSite, a business management research firm, the plus-size fashion industry grew by 6% in 2016, while general clothing sales increased by merely 1.6% that year. And with plus-size fashion accounting for only 17.5% of total retail sales, the vast earning potential of the industry has barely been tapped. Social media gave plus-size women a voice. To truly understand how far plus-size fashion has come, we have to look at where the community's presence on social media began. Social media has given bigger women a voice to push back against tired marketing stereotypes and to challenge brands and retailers to think beyond a limited scope. Social media has allowed us to express our likes and dislikes directly to the people who can affect change. One of the greatest impacts of this unfettered access has been the change in how full-figured women are perceived. The community of plus-size women is finally being recognized for its diversity. No longer are larger women hiding their curves or dressing primarily in dreary slimming colors. Today's plus-size woman or woman is living her best life confidently and unapologetically. The various social media platforms like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Pinterest, and Snapchat, as well as blogging tools such as Blogger and WordPress, have given plus-size women multiple outlets to express themselves and to connect with their tribe. Lyris Cross, a veteran plus-size model, who wowed Project Runway viewers as the program's first full-figured model in season 16, agrees. Social media has had a huge effect on the plus fashion world because it has held some brands and designers accountable, and that has caused a customer revolution. When the retailer, The Limited, discontinued Eloquy, its plus-size fashion line back in 2013, the public outcry from blog posts and other social media conversations helped to revive it. Women are speaking about what they want from brands that cater to them and those they don't. Cross notes, brands are paying attention, which has led to plus size fashion taking a big leap forward. Celebrity stylist and the art of dressing curves author Susan Moses adds, as a devoted advocate for the plus size fashion industry, it's wonderful to see tremendous growth in regards to brands, both through established and indie designers and the pop-up collaborations. I can also confirm that this time, because of social media and a very large, vocal, and active plus community, these strides are permanent and the plus-size industry will only continue to grow. In tracing the expansions of plus-size fashion, it's not surprising that women of color have promoted greater choice. A 2017 Nielsen report found that African Americans spend $1.3 trillion annually. Pair that with the fact that Black consumers have used social media to create a voice that decision makers and marketers are noticing. And it might seem as if change will come easily, but inclusion is still an issue for curvy Black fashionistas. The result, many are branching out to create their own brands, creating our own lane. So although several of the plus-size fashion industry's change agents and tastemakers are women of color, they are not equally represented in media. Moses was forced to confront this lack of ethnic inclusiveness when writing her book. We should be represented in all facets of media. Our presence should no longer be a surprise or headlines news, she says. Inclusion should be the norm. Yet it's very challenging to find fashion images to plus models who are ethnically diverse, even as you pursue the latest mainstream plus size news. From brand campaigns to models, coverage of what happens in the plus size fashion space is usually one note. And this applies both to fashion influencers and business professionals. The plus industry still needs more representation of women of color and sizes above a 16, Moses asserts. As a stylist who niche has been dressing curves for well over a decade, I would like to see everyone do their homework when hiring for curve-centric projects. While there is always room for growth, there are some great resources currently available. Of course, if plus-size women are to wait around for mainstream fashion to give us what we want, we would not be having this conversation today. 11 years ago, Full-Figured Fashion Week arrived in New York City, created as a platform to celebrate and nurture the plus community and its fashion designers, paved the way for new brands, collections, influencers, and it also offered an innovative event blueprint that inspired others, including TCF Style Expo, District of Curves, Lifestyle Honors, the Curvy Con, and the newest edition, the Full Figured Industry. And actually, we ran out of time for today's episode of Essence Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. And I'm Nicole Hunter, and you have been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.